get onto a really creepy scene. And I remember, Phoebe, before we started recording, you mentioned this about the doll. Mm. The porcelain doll.
There's a doll, yes.
Tell me your thoughts about the doll.
I, as is well documented, I don't like talking dolls. I have two, and they might seem like contradictory opinions, but they are not contradictory opinions. They can work in perfect tandem with each other. And the first is a doll shouldn't talk. Just for a kickoff. If a doll is talking, then it's absolutely going outside the boundaries of acceptability
does that include Furbies and stuff as well?
Absolutely, it includes Furbies. You used to be able to. There was a brief period of time when you could teach Furbies to swear, and then they fit, and then they fix, and then they like the manufacturers were forced to like fix this bug that allowed people to teach their younger siblings is Furbies to swear, which was a fun little game for a while there. Talking dolls. They're no good. They're not staying in their lane for a kickoff. They are intruding on the human world. And they are scary, but they also shouldn't be scary, and people should be willing to deal with creepy dolls, creepy speaking dolls, in much more an appropriate way, and also people should be more aware of their mastery in a number of areas over the speaking doll. So if you have a doll that starts giving it the chat, you pick that doll up and you put it in the bin. You don't sit there and let the doll give you all kinds of shit, because not only can you pick it up and put it in the bin, like, it's got little stupid arms. You can keep it at arm's length very easily. So even if it gets a weapon or just anything, as soon as a doll starts to like freak you out, then you have a significant amount of power to do something about that. And it always troubles me when people are not making full use of their potential to get rid of their spooky speaking dolls.
Yeah,
I'm with you on both counts. First of all, no computer or machine of any description should speak.
Yeah,
I have this every time I'm at the self-checkouts and they're like, do you want to receive them? Fuck off. Or I take a little bit too long to like put my stuff into my bag, and it's just like, take your items. And I'm like, I fucking try and shut up. Who gave you permission to use my language?
Yeah.
And the second thing is, you're fully right, Chucky can fuck off as well.
Yeah.
Like, I've been thinking about Chucky for quite some time. If a doll tried to kill me, I feel like there are things that I could do that would make that impossible for the doll to accomplish.
And actually, we have actually talked about this in like quite a lot of detail on a Masters of Our Domain movie corner. But just take the knife. Just take the knife off him.
What's he gonna do? Take it off, killed by a doll. Honestly,
if you get stabbed to death by a doll, that is on you. That is your fault.
You realize?
Imagine how embarrassed you would be.
But from what I understand, the dolls involved in these types of scenarios can always jump, right? And they like are somehow very strong as well. So if you took the knife and just like held it above, right? Like, you know, but you know, no, showing
you
off that you're taller than
the doll.
The doll can jump.
Jumps at me, I'm just gonna fucking knock it out of the park with my bat, like
You see a doll like preparing to jump at you. You'd react in the same way that a smaller, weaker animal
I'm writing a movie idea for 10,000 posts, which is a movie called Small Soldiers.
I've watched that so many times.
Small Soldiers? Because this sounds like it's about a doll who doesn't stay in its lane.
Small Soldiers is about lots of... Small Soldiers is a movie about lots of dolls that do not stay in their lane.
Okay. All right.
So, we'll watch that at some point. But I noticed that before we got onto the doll situation, one thing I forgot to mention was that as As Layton's sister is like walking across the road, she sees like this car crash, or like she sees like a car like swerving or something like that. And then we revisit it later, but because we revisit it later, I just thought I'd kind of mention that now. When Layton is talking to the doll, and Layton is sort of like asking the doll to tell her a story, which again, I think is like very weird. And the female voice, apparently coming from the doll, says, "What story do you want, Layton?" And Layton says, "Tell me one I don't know." "What do you know? What you don't know doesn't exist," the doll says. "I can't tell a story which does not exist. You understand, don't you?" And the doll continues, "How about this? Every event is predated by a prophecy. Only when the prophecy is there will the event occur." And then Layton says, Who will tell me the prophecy?" This is like a big, this is kind of like the big kind of issue in this episode. So after the whole, yeah, after that, we kind of get some more shots of like Layton at the computer. What is the next scene?
Fucking Layton's sister, maybe gets hit by a car, that kind of thing. She sees Layton stood in the middle of the road and just sort of goes,
"Yes, yeah,"
and then leaves. Yeah, so which I thought was very funny.
Yeah, we go back. We're back at the road. We're back at like the road stop. This is something like, I was very confused by this because like the Navi was kind of involved. Like, yeah, like Layton's sister sort of sees Layton. Then she also like receives like a piece of paper. I think it's a piece of paper, or like something spills, something spills on her. I know what happens. Like someone like knocks a drink on her, and then she's like given a piece of paper. I'm not sure what like the piece of paper says. And then like there's this car crash, and like we keep kind of going back to this car crash as well. And then Layton's sister like looks up and sees this like digital version of her sister, but with like massive eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna need them to come up with a unified theory on the eyes on this show. Do people have eyes, or do they have eyes which are too large? Like, which?
After this episode, let's write a stern letter to Mr. Konaka and be like, "Please tell us your theory about eyes, because this whole thing is very confusing." We return back to Layton in her room, and she's speaking to like a totem. It looks like a totem pole, but I'm not sure what it is. It's just kind of like this empty mask. Or like this kind of like mask with like some patterns on it.
I don't know why she's seeking the doll's counsel in the first place. That doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, obviously it doesn't, because I don't care for speaking dolls. But like, if a doll has got something to say, like there's nothing a doll could have to say to me that I want to hear. So I don't know why she's like, I don't know why she's seeking further conversation with the doll.
I mean, she's trying to find out more about like the prophecy, right? So she's sort of like asking about the prophecy, and the voice kind of, again, like, this is not the doll, this is now the mask. And the mask says, "History is not just a collection of independent points which we were passed by. The lines were connected by someone. In fact, they were forced to connect." Layton asks who connected them. And we kind of like end that scene. This is an important scene because, like, again, so much of this series is about kind of connection, and crucially forced connection, which kind of gets resolved like later on in the series. But like the whole idea right now is that Layton's journey into the Wired is really one of like forced connection, right? Like she's kind of like forcing herself into this kind of world in the space between the real world and the digital world. And she's like, she's kind of becoming an intermediary, not an intermediary, but she's sort of becoming like a point of interference within the space, because her idea about the Wired is ultimately like the way that like it has to be used is one where you have like the seamless integration between like digital and material spaces, and there isn't kind of room to maneuver from that.